A puzzling story of scientific fraud surfaced this summer. It involves that venerable chart that hangs in most chemistry classrooms, the periodic table of the elements. The table catalogs the basic ingredients of the entire natural world and a bit of the unnatural world. Carbon and oxygen exist naturally, of course, but down toward the bottom of the chart sit the heavier elements created by humans, with the help of powerful nuclear accelerators. A couple of years ago, a team at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in California announced they had forged the heaviest element yet, element 118. But researchers later retracted the discovery. This summer, the lab released a detailed report on what happened. It concludes there is clear evidence that one of the lab's top scientists, Viktor Ninov, simply made up the data. Most researchers on the experiment agree that's what happened, but they're still perplexed. They say something about the whole story doesn't make sense. NPR's David Kestenbaum reports.
Cheating in science is not like cheating on your tax return, because you're bound to get caught when somebody tries to repeat your experiment and can't. And besides, what's the point? For most physicists, there is simply no thrill in discovering something that really isn't there. Walter Loveland says he can't understand why any scientist would make up data, and he really can't understand why his colleague, Viktor Ninov, would.
We understand the files and the reports and so forth, but to say that you understand it in human terms is not really possible. And what's gone on is just not consistent with the person that we know and participated in experiments with for some years, and so something just doesn't ring right here.
The man accused, Viktor Ninov, is an accomplished physicist, mountain climber, and sailor. He says flatly that he did nothing wrong. But the Berkeley lab investigation found otherwise. The attempt to make element 118 went like this. A big particle accelerator flung krypton atoms at a thin lead sheet. The krypton and lead atoms sometimes fuse to form super heavy atoms, which plow ahead for a fraction of a second, then tumble apart. The pieces are registered by scientific instruments, which store the data on magnetic tape. Viktor Ninov analyzed that data. He announced he had found three instances where an atom of superheavy element 118 had been produced, and the work was published. There were only 15 people on the experiment. No one bothered to check the data. Then the atom showed up again. This time, Walter Loveland looked and looked, but couldn't find the event.
Then we became really concerned and spoke to Viktor and said, well, gee, what's going on? And Viktor said, well, here, I'll show you the event. And so he ran over to his computer terminal and pulled up on the screen an event. When, sure, lo and behold, this was the event that he had reported. And I guess we said to ourselves, my God, what's going on here? This is crazy. Something's very, very wrong.
By this time, labs in France, Germany, and Japan had tried to duplicate the research and failed. So the scientists at Berkeley National Lab went back to the original data tapes to double-check their earlier work and found, to their shock, not a trace of element 118. When the team looked more closely at the events isolated by Viktor Ninov, they found something odd. It looked like pieces of data had been cut from one place and pasted into another. Researchers also found computer files which apparently showed those alterations in progress. Those files had to have been made by Viktor Ninov or somebody using his computer account. Walter Loveland says two very careful committees looked into all this.
Those committees have concluded that it was a case of data fabrication and therefore scientific misconduct by Dr. Ninov.
Viktor Ninov was fired, but he insists he's innocent. He's not hiding behind his lawyer. He spoke with NPR for an hour and says he's as puzzled as anybody by the discrepancies in the data.
So far, I wasn't able to discover a mistake from my side, and I disagree with the laboratory that I fabricated the data because I just simply didn't have a motivation for this. I mean, what was my profit? Or would have been my profit?
I mean, I guess someone could have said that someone might have wanted to fake the data to, to give the field a boost.
I don't think so. You mean, by somebody, you mean me at this particular time?
Yeah, I guess. I guess, yeah.
Well, I didn't get that fame at that time. I think my name didn't make it to the papers. And I wouldn't have chosen such a kind of a method. I would have tried, just to work a little bit more harder and convince the people that the research we are doing is useful.
So you swear you didn't do this?
Oh, yeah.
Viktor Ninov is now spending his time at home. He's gotten calls from some of his colleagues in Europe offering support. He says it's good to know who your friends are.
Actually, I'm all right. I didn't lose my sense of humor. I'm enjoying the time that I was missing with my wife. We were talking just this morning that despite the shadow of everything that's going on, it's kind of a very happy time because we're just spending time together.
Ninov does not have a good explanation for what happened at the lab. He has said that his password was widely known and used. Maybe somebody else faked the data. One of Ninov's colleagues at Berkeley National Laboratory says that might seem plausible if it weren't for something else. A German team re-examined some of its old data describing the production of other heavy elements, elements 110 and 112. Some of that data also appears to have been forged. Sigurd Hoffmann is a physicist on the German experiment. He says the scientist who originally announced those findings was Viktor Ninov.
We only can say that he was working with the data in this time, and it's difficult to think that somebody else could have manipulated this data. Also, he himself, he knows about our finding, and his reaction was that he cannot understand how this could happen.
What puzzles Ninov's American colleague, Walter Loveland, about all this is that when he talks to Ninov, he doesn't get the sense that he's lying exactly.
People will always deny these sorts of things because admitting it would just be catastrophic. But there is something that isn't quite ring true here. It isn't easy to walk away from this with a totally convinced feeling of what's happened. I guess another way of saying this is I should be horribly mad at Viktor and I'm not.
Other colleagues say they feel the same way. A researcher at the Berkeley lab says there is only one person on the team who truly believes Viktor Ninov is innocent, and that person is Viktor Ninov. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.